Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Chris.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Ben.
Who would steal 30 bag lunches?
Danny.
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh? Giggling like a bunch of young boys in the schoolyard.
Shoddy Radio.
Ben, did you get this text message too? Like, I feel like Chris sent it to a couple people, but...
Is it my cock?
No, it was... I guess it was right around Christmas when you... I got a couple pretty funny texts from Chris. The first one said, the butthole killer is excellent. I think he had just listened to a podcast of ours that... on his drive up to Northern California, but it sounded like he was recommending like a soup to me or something.
Was it the one where he said, I think our episode, The Butthole Killer, would also make a great name for a five-alarm chili?
But then a little bit later, I got a message from Chris that said, it was on Christmas Day, actually, and it said, and on this blessed day, a Christ child was born. Hallelujah.
I got that too.
All right, what about this one? Just drove by the Man Bat site. Got cold shivers.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Did you get that one from him?
Yeah.
Just drove by the Man Bat site. Got cold shivers. I rarely laugh out loud from text messages when I'm all by myself, but that definitely made me laugh out loud.
I laugh out loud at more of Chris's text messages than anybody else, but he's also the only person that texts me, pretty much.
That's true. So
I save all of his, and I usually erase my responses so that way I don't clog up the feed. But I have text messages from Chris all the way back from August 18th.
Wow!
And sometimes when I'm in bed feeling sad, I.
So Chris, is that true? You drove by the Man Bat site. Maybe we could revisit this.
Whenever I drive by the Man Bat site, which isn't often. I go into like a black and white dream sequence.
No, this is, we live down here in Southern California, but this, so you drive up to back to Northern California about once a year or so, right?
Yeah.
And is it right off the freeway there?
It's like when Jews go back to the remnants of Auschwitz and they just see images of Ralph Fiennes randomly shooting people.
What else?
Sometimes on there's this show on the Animal Planet called Finding Bigfoot, and it's like this research team of like four people, and they're always digging through the woods in like Northern California and Oregon and Washington and stuff, and they're looking for Bigfoot. And it's funny because I've seen like 30 episodes and they never find shit, but they're so convinced that there's a Bigfoot. But what I was thinking is me, you, Chris, and producer Lyle, we need to put together a team called Finding Man Bat. We could pitch it to Animal Planet. Here's what we do. We get some shitty handheld video cameras, and every once in a while we just get like a fifth unidentified friend, maybe Sean Becker or somebody, to just be off in the distance, and he could make like a bat screeching noise off into the distance.
Right.
And we'll have one of those cameras that can see like heat, you know, like through the trees and stuff.
Yeah.
And they'll just be like this little crouched down figure of heat, and that could be Sean Becker. And then we could give him like some fake bat wings that will heat up with like a blow dryer, and then he could flap them and run off, and then like they'd love that shit.
That's a good idea.
Well, when you guys are laughing like a bunch of fools, that's when the Man Bat strikes.
Oh, wait, hang on a second. Speaking of the Man Bat, my dad's back down here. Crud is, and he's knocking at my door. Chris, let him in. My dad's here. He actually verified that there was a Man Bat.
Did he really?
Well, he said that there's such a thing.
I was going to ask, because he's been up in Northern California.
He saw it on the Animal Planet. Hang on a sec, Dad.
I just wanted to tell you I got about 50 pounds of horse shit that I followed the parade and collected.
Oh, you got it out back?
Yeah, it's in the corner of the...
Oh, good.
So yeah. Tanya can use it so whenever she needs fertilizer.
Tanya can use it whenever she misses Danny. She can just throw it in the bag.
So, hey, thanks, Dad.
How did he carry it back?
He didn't really.
Oh. It's funny. Isn't it weird that that seems so believable that I thought he might have really done that?
Well, I believed it.
You know, the Rose Bowl parade just went by our house, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do something. I guess the New Year's a good time to do it, too, because we never really thank everyone that kind of helps us out with the podcast. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just us. We get help from other people. But I wanted to thank, like, just all the guests from the past. I was looking, what made me want to do this was looking back over the year. We had a freaking good year this year. We had Rob on. Rob's one of my heroes. We had Adam Carolla on. Adam's one of my heroes. We got to have Keith Lowell Jensen on. Keith's a great, funny guy. And Ben, you should thank him again for us.
I will.
Who else? I can't even remember. Eric from the Mustache Rangers. I mean, we had a lot of really good, funny shows with good guests and stuff. Oh, Jackie Cashin was on. I mean, these are people that don't need to come and do our show. You know what I mean? And they're all nice enough to do it. We appreciate everyone.
Did you say Adam Carolla?
Yeah, Adam Carolla. We appreciate. Bald Brian and Anderson too. That's another one. That's a big one because they drove all the way. They both drove all the way out, and they were both super nice the whole time. Way cooler than I expected them to be nice, but they went out of their way to be nice. I feel like
way cooler than I thought they'd be.
I started to say that, but what I meant was I already liked both of them, but I didn't know, you know.
Actually, I thought Anderson was going to be a dick because I hear Carolla saying that Anderson's a dick all the time.
That's true. I didn't think he would be a total dick, but he was.
Anderson was super cool.
Yeah.
Brian was a fucking cunt.
We get it. You have fucking cancer. You don't have to drag the rest of the world down. And most importantly, as cheesy as this sounds, everyone who listens and like emails and writes in and stuff, that's the main thing. Oh, that was the other thing I wanted to say was that I know we do get emails and comments and stuff like that, and I love that. But we do this, you know, this is a weird form of comedy where we don't get any feedback. You know, most comedy, you get some type of, you have a way to gauge what's funny to everyone else, not just to you. But in this, we just record in a room and then send it out to the world, and we never see anyone laugh. You know what I mean? So that's why I especially love hearing what people laughed at and what they thought was funny. And even if you just send one little, you know, put one little comment up or one email or one, it doesn't have to be like this long drawn out email, anything like that. But I share those all the time with Ben and Chris, and it's really nice because you start to feel a little defeated doing this because you spend so much time doing something and then you're not sure how well it's being received, I guess.
It's a lot harder for Chris and I because we're used to that instant gratification of laughter after we say something funny.
Right, exactly.
Where Danny, he's kind of used to saying something funny in quotes. I put air quotes up. No, and not hearing anybody laugh. So you're kind of used to people not laughing at you.
Right. I spent a life doing that.
You guys, if you want, you can continue on with the show, and I can throw out some of these as I find them.
Oh, I remember a couple things I wanted to show you. I don't know if they're good for the podcast, but I found these things when I was doing paperwork a while ago.
He's pulling out his briefcase.
Did I put it under correspondence? Oh, yeah. I keep all my podcasting stuff under correspondence.
I can't believe you have a alligator file folder and that you wrote correspondence on one of the sections.
I didn't.
Sections.
It came with it written. I found this letter. I was going through some old podcast stuff because when Brian moved on, we had to, you know, do the severance package, all that stuff. But I just was going through all his old paperwork, stuff we hadn't gone through in a while, his old files, and I found this. This is actually from Chris to Brian, if you remember this.
Really?
Dear Brian, and then in parentheses it says Brian Jason Hunter, which is Brian's full name. It's me, Chris. Chris Clements. Christopher Joseph Clements. I just wanted to tell you again how much I love you. Not like a quote-unquote friend loves another friend. No, this is the type of physical lust and spiritual connection that only true lovers, in capitals, actually experience. Thank you again for that wonderful lesson in lovemaking you gave me in our last session. And by session, of course, I am referring to the unprotected anal sex we had, where you inserted your beautiful penis into my trembling, anxious anus. I learned so much about who I really was that night, and about how to truly experience pleasure to the fullest extent. I love you with all my heart for the wonderful man that you are, and for the way you've opened all of my hidden treasures and brought them to the surface. I feel so alive when I'm with you. I hope that we continue this love affair for the rest of our lives. I look forward to growing old with you and just holding hands together in our fading years as we take walks in the forest. And then making love together under the open night sky with the moonlight glimmering in your eyes as we stare into each other's souls, thrusting away all the while. I love you. I just want to scream it. Love always, your lover, Christopher Joseph Clemens.
Wow. Chris, that's pretty messed up.
When did you write that, Chris?
I don't know. I don't remember it. I mean, I remember the raw emotion that it's coming out of the paper, but I don't remember putting it down.
No, I found that letter. I actually wrote that, but just like that. But I feel like there was some bit me and Chris were going to do, or me and Brian had a plan to do something. I can't remember what it was, but I found that. And this had to be written like 4 or 5 years ago, and I just read it and it made me laugh. Because I really was going through a bunch of old podcasting, like paper stuff, and just trying to clear out some, because me and Chris always have like papers full of ideas and random stuff, and I was trying to clear some of it, and then I keep some of it just because it's nice to have old stuff that's funny.
I don't know what's more disturbing, if I had actually written this, or the fact that you wrote this about my cock and Brian's anus.
And kept it for 3 years.
You're alone, coming up with all kinds of...
You know what's weird is I really thought Chris wrote that.
I wasn't sure if I wrote it or not either for a while. I had to look to see if it was my handwriting.
This is something I found. I don't know if you remember this, Chris. I can't remember what started it, but we were sitting inside the Hat just down the street with Shoddy doing this, I think. We were coming up with changing all the soda names to bad names, like Dr. Pee-Pee instead of Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Root beer is poop beer.
I thought you were going to say root boobs. Man.
Mr. Why isn't this framed?
Mr. Pib. Mr. Pib was Mr. Pube.
That's good stuff.
A&W cream soda is A&W cum soda. Orange Crush is Orange Cooch. Orange Bang, you know that drink, Ben?
Yeah. Orange what?
Orange Bang.
Bang?
Yeah. It's like an orange. It's almost like horchata, but
it's a Mexican soda.
It's like a Mexican drink. Anyway, we have Orange Gangbang. And then horchata is horchata. Jug root beer. Seven Hump. Mountain Dew Dew.
That's pretty good.
Pepsi is Hepsi. And then Coca-Cola was just Cock Classic. It's written in cursive, though. It's just, I love finding these old things. Because I always think about, like, if someone found the things that I keep, most people keep, like, nice letters from girlfriends and stuff. I keep these dumb lists of, like, nicknames. And
did I ever tell you about the time where I used to write down... I guess back when I was doing stand-up, I used to write down joke ideas all the time on like little pieces of paper and stuff and put them in my pockets. And for some reason, I was writing down jokes and I like folded it up. And I don't know why, but I put it on Sonia's nightstand. And when she woke up the next morning, she found this like neatly folded note on her nightstand. She's like, Ben left me a note before he went to work or something. And inside was just like a bunch of jokes about blowjobs. There's jokes about how how blowjobs before you get married, they're just like something that happens at the end of the night. And then like after you get married, they become like birthday gifts. And like all these like weird jokes about blowjobs and weird observations.
That's funny.
That'd be a weird thing to wake up to.
Chris, didn't you say you had some jokes you were going to read too, or some old stuff that you found or something like that?
Well, these are things that might possibly have been supposed to be jokes.
All right.
This one I wrote, gay guys admire women for their emotional strength. Straight guys admire women for their titties. I don't know if it's funny, it's just true.
It's definitely funny.
What kind of black are they? Are we talking Puff Daddy black or Steve Martin's Family and the Jerk black? When I got baptized, I didn't feel like the Lord had come inside me. I just felt like I had water up my nose. Is that funny?
Yeah, it sounds like a deep thought.
And then it says, I guess becoming a Christian is a lot like being waterboarded.
Yeah, that's funny.
Using drugs to stop anxiety is like letting snakes in your house to kill all the rats.
Wow, that's pretty deep, actually.
I know, that was just kind of sad.
That may be the most profound thing I've ever heard you say, Chris.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very, very good metaphor. I guess it's a simile. Wait, which one isn't used like or as?
This is retarded. CSI San Francisco. Every crime involves gay jizz.
How can they tell it's gay jizz?
Well, I don't know. They have ways with DNA.
It's the gay gene.
Yeah.
If you jack off to black and white porno, there's a good chance the girl you're masturbating to is dead.
Oh, I thought you meant black on white. I misheard you.
It works both ways.
And if
have you ever seen black and white porno?
Oh, hell yeah.
Really?
Seriously,
I've
you
seen
have?
Tons of it. Yeah.
You don't mean just something that someone applied like a filter to?
No. Dude, yeah, you guys haven't seen vintage porn?
Wait, does the guy have one of those curly mustaches? Have you ever seen one with a bald guy? You know, like one
I
of those muscle guys?
Possibly. I've seen silent film porno.
Really? What do you think the oldest porno that you've jacked off to, Chris? Or just seen?
I don't whack off to the older stuff because it's creepy.
But you must have seen something where a girl was kind of hot
got
you.
I've seen nudity from the 1800s.
Really?
Yeah.
What in the world?
As soon as they were able to take pictures, they were taking pictures of vaginas. That's what I love about the male mind, is that he invents stuff, and then he just uses it to, like, exploit women.
Did you see it on the internet, or, like, on a VHS tape?
Just at my family reunion. No, I saw it on the internet.
Did you, like, search for that? Were you specifically looking for black
and
white?
I specifically looked for everything at one time or another.
Chris typed in 1800s porno.
What's the weirdest thing that you've ever typed into Google while looking for porn?
The weirdest thing?
Yeah, like, what's the weirdest, like, word or phrase or something where you're specifically looking for porn?
I don't know, maybe, like, vomit or period.
When you say period, I assume you're talking about like a period piece. Well, that's a good name for a porno movie where the girl's on the rag, but it's called a period piece.
I thought he was just getting stern with Google. Like, it's like, are you sure you want to look for vomit porn? And he's like, vomit, period.
Why did his voice get so gruff with it?
I was getting stern.
Vomit, period.
That's stern. That's what you do when you don't want to put up with Google shit.
Here's one. I bet the first porn stars were the easiest to find because all you had to do was go up to a hooker and tell her that science had found a new way for her to piss off her dad.
Did you write that?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
This one just says, the final solution, contact lens cleaner for Jews.
That's a good idea.
The other day I was walking down the street and I see this dog looking at me and I could tell that he thinks I look really young for my age.
Oh my god.
Okay, you want another name?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll just tell you the last name and then I'll give you the first name, ready?
Yeah.
Last name, Zartasty.
I don't want the first name. I do not want the first name. It can only get worse. It can't make it better.
You gotta hear it though.
Last name was Zartasty. Okay, what's the first name?
Dick.
Dick Zartasty. Oh man.
Here's an idea for my tombstone. It just says, "Here's my grave. Can you dig it?"
That'll be next to mine.
Whenever you watch porn, do you constantly try to convince yourself that the girl you're jacking off to went to high school with you?
It's a good idea. You should go up on stage and do all your jokes.
I know, I should just read text messages that I wrote myself.
If you could do it this calmly, that would be really awesome.
And also, don't explain what you're doing. Just go up and start doing it.
I could at least get away with that on an open mic.
I've seen people do like similar stuff to that, where they'll go up with like a notebook and just start reading like one-liners out of a notebook, and then like search the way they start to turn the page becomes funny.
You should go up on stage and just do, what's the name of the segment? I'll see you in the funny pages. Just bring the funnies up on stage and read it to people.
And then after my set, I'll go, "Maybe next time I'll see you in the funny pages." I'm pointing to the audience.
I would think it was funny.
I'll try to sound like Ed McMahon. After my set, I'll be like, "Tonight, Chris Clements got 4.25 stars."
You got more than
I got more than anybody ever.
It's funny because I was in Chris's head during that joke because I knew he wanted 1.25 stars, but then he led with 4 and he just decided to add 1.25.
What's funny is that we all instantly knew that remember the scoring system from Star Search.
Like, don't think you're sneaking that shit past us. We know this wasn't a 5-star based program.
Shoddy Radio.
Let's do a little bit of political talk here, because I don't know anything really that's going on. Tell me who's running.
Well, Mitt Romney's the front runner.
And Mitt Romney, what is he? Is he a Republican, a Democrat?
Well, yeah, Democrats aren't going to run a Democrat because they want Obama to be reelected.
That's right.
So yeah, these are all Republicans that are in the debate.
Gotcha.
Mitt Romney, he's a Mormon.
Oh, is he a Mormon?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's insane! And he's the front runner.
I think there's actually two Mormons on the GOP ticket right now.
If I was debating a Mormon, all I would do is read out loud the beliefs of the Mormons. They would ask a question, and I would just read the Mormon Bible or whatever it is.
Well, in my opinion, you could do that for every religion, and it would be just as ridiculous.
Yeah, but Mormons more recent.
I think Mormons fall into this category, and I'm pretty sure Michelle Bachmann, and I know that Rick Perry does. They're young Earth creationists, so they think the Earth is between 6 and 10,000 years old. So those are the people that are going to be making decisions on science funding for the next 4 years, possibly.
Yeah.
Good. That's good. All right. So who else? Let's move on.
Well, there's Rick Santorum.
Who's that? Who's that dude?
He's the guy that got into a Well, I guess he didn't really get into it, but he's the guy that was, he's very anti-gay. So Dan Savage, my favorite podcaster named Dan Savage of the Savage Love podcast, he nicknamed him, just do a Google search of Santorum.
Why?
Because you'll know what Dan Savage has made him famous for.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Is it Manhorum?
No, it's the frothy mix of lube and fecal matter that is sometimes the byproduct of anal sex.
Wait, what does that mean? I don't get it.
So apparently if you use a lot of lube and you do have intercourse in somebody's anus, there's a frothy mix of lube and fecal matter that sometimes squeezes out because your dick acts as a plunger. But anyways, Dan Savage of the Savage Love podcast has nicknamed that stuff Santorum after Rick Santorum. So now whenever you do a Google search of Rick Santorum, that's always the first thing that comes up before anything about the actual politician.
Oh my God, that's awesome. By the way, when you mentioned how your dick acts like a pump, did you know that the penis has actually evolved to be a pump?
Well, do you know why it is like that?
So it pumps out semen.
It proves that we were never intended to be monogamous creatures.
Exactly. And that it also proves that we were supposed to rape. Well, not supposed to. I don't want to say supposed to, but
you can say supposed to.
And scientists have also found sperm that their only job is to find foreign sperm and kill it.
Oh man, that's like a warrior sperm?
Yeah, there's like sperm in your body that whenever you ejaculate into a woman or producer Brian's ass, its sole purpose is to find foreign sperm and kill it. So why would God create us with a plunger penis and warrior sperm if we're supposed to be monogamous creatures? It doesn't make sense, right?
Right, that's true.
But yet you'll never hear about plunger penis on the news because, you know, we're not allowed to be anti-religious in this country.
Plunger penis warrior sperm sounds like a version of Xena warrior princess or something.
Doesn't it seem crazy though that you just can't, like, if you just are openly an atheist, it's like, it seems like a crazy thing to be, like, people look at you like you're
seems crazy.
Like, it's totally acceptable to say, hey, I'm a Christian, and I don't think gay people should have the same rights as us. And, you know, obviously there's people like me who are, like, highly offended by that. But for the most part, you can go on TV and say that. But if I went on TV and just said, hey, God isn't real, nobody can prove that it is, and here's all these scientific facts on why it isn't real, everybody would look at me like I was, like, a terrorist.
Of course, that's the most insane thing in the world, and it's the most accepted thing in the world, that in America, you have to be claimed to be not just religious, but Christian of some sort. You know, even Mormonism is based on Jesus Christ in order to get elected as the president. It couldn't be more backwards. And it makes me more and more angry every, you know, month that goes by. I just get angrier and angrier about the fact that religion is still so relevant, and it's sort of impeding progress at this point. So who else? What other candidates do we have?
Did we already cover Michelle Bachmann?
No, but I'd like to cover her with something.
Her husband's gay.
Oh, he is clearly gay.
It's a gay, you guys. Her husband is a gay. Yeah.
You know why I think he's gay?
A gay.
And he's a queer fellow.
It's not just because of like his crazy lisp and all that, but it's the fact that he
sucks children.
It's the fact that he is so anti-gay makes him gay.
Of course.
Yes.
Because he has like one of those pray the gay away.
Oh boy.
I don't know what you would call it.
Bumper sticker. Like
it's like an actual like, I don't know.
Isn't
I guess
he
like
a teacher at some anti-gay camp or something?
Yeah, and that's what they do.
Hang on a second.
They teach people to pray the gay away.
How many people do you think he's... How many men or boys do you think he's fucked at that pray the gay away camp? Because I bet it's at least one. I mean, I'm being serious.
I bet it's really fuck the gay away when they get there.
Really, though. Because in a... Okay. Cheating on your girlfriend, you're not... It's not... It doesn't... No vagina inherently feels better than another vagina. You know what I mean? But
I beg to differ.
Okay. But it's more mental. It's like that sort of feeling of, or just having like even just public sex with your girlfriend or something.
No,
like
I agree.
That.
It's all mental.
It's all mental. Probably, so it's
probably like crazy homeless guys that have like really nice cocks and and girls wouldn't go after them because they're homeless.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
No, I know. I think it took a weird road to get there.
I think I saw that guy in a movie. There's like a porn star that looks like a homeless guy and he's got a giant cock.
Well, let me get to my point. My point is that the sexual tension, the fact that you're not allowed to, is what makes it feel good when you give in. So if you're at an pray the gay away, you know, camp slash seminar, and you're all there like pretending that you're... Yeah, well, I bet it is for gay guys. Like, you're all pretending that, like, that it's just a horrible thing. But the only thing on everyone's mind is just, oh, I want to...
Butt fucking.
Yeah, exactly. So when you finally give in and butt fuck somebody at that camp, I bet it feels so good.
I bet all the ghost stories involve ghosts butt fucking you in your sleep. Some say you can still feel a butt fucking you tonight when you're asleep.
Let me hang on. Give me 1 second. I'm gonna add in a sound effect right here. Why don't you tell a camp story, Chris?
The same thing again?
Just any camp story.
They say the only way to get a ghost and stop butt fucking you is to never tell your parents.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Man, I'm scared.
I feel like we're camping that one time.
Hey, you know what it is? I got an analogy for this whole gay thing.
Let me kill the campfire.
You know what it is? Imagine that like 90% of the world was gay, and the straight people, us, presumably, are among the same minority that the gays are in this universe.
Yeah.
Okay, alternate universe theory. And it's a... And you are going to be a camp counselor at a camp full of, like, beautiful, hot, bosomy, young, barely legal teenagers. And they're, like, super horny to fuck you. Right. But it's your job to try to convince them not to blow you.
This is the perfect analogy. That's my point.
How can you expect Michelle Bachmann not to butt fuck like crazy when he gets to camp?
Wait, is her husband's name the same as his?
Did I say Michelle Bachmann's husband? Yeah.
You said Michelle Bachmann. How can you expect Michelle Bachmann not to butt fuck like crazy? No, but you're right. How can you expect Michael Bachmann, I assume that's his name, not to butt fuck like crazy? Of course. And once you give in, then it's just a butt fuck fest.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
It's a butt fuck frenzy, because why not?
Exactly.
Do you think God's like, you butt fuck twice? Like, once I could see.
I love God's voice. Once, he sounds like an old Jew. Once I could see. But...
You know what I always thought, like, about God getting angry in the Bible? It always seemed weird to me that he would get angry about anything if he already knew what was going to happen ahead of time. Don't you have to kind of be surprised to be angry at stuff?
Yes.
Like, if he sees these guys butt fuck, he's like, what? I never thought you could fit that there.
Hey, get that out of there.
This makes me furious. I didn't design it for that.
I designed it as a pump.
Shoddy Radio is produced by Jeff Franklin Productions with Miller Boyette Productions in association with Lorimar Television and is distributed by Warner Brothers Domestic Television Distribution.